The views and opinions expressed on America's Workforce Union podcast and its digital media channels are solely those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of the producers or sponsors.
Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
Nurses in California reach a deal averting a one-day walkout. Meanwhile, a two-day strike by nurses in Maine is in effect. The issues, recruitment, retention, and staffing. And today on the show, we kick off Mental Health Awareness Month with Dr. Sally Spencer Thomas and Dave Meganhart of the United Labor Agency. Welcome to the Wednesday, May 1st edition of America's Workforce, where we're available on at least five platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. Well, this is the 1st of May. Boy, this year is flying by. Well, May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and it was designated this day back in 1949. We have two very good guests on the show today. We're going to start things off with Dr. Sally Spencer Thomas, no stranger to America's workforce. She's been on several times, and she is with United Suicide Survivors International. That's just one of many organizations. A little background on her. Dr. Sally sees issues of suicide prevention and mental health promotion from a host of perspectives. Number one, clinical psychologist, mental health advocate, faculty member, researcher. She is also a suicide loss survivor. She lost her brother some years ago to suicide, and that changed her life like it would change anybody's life. Dr. Sally has held leadership roles with the International Association of Suicide Prevention, the American Association of Suicide. 8 years ago in 2016, she was invited to speak at the White House on men's mental health. Now, she has done amazing things with the unions because, especially in the building trades, the rate for suicide is 3 to 4 times higher than the general population. And we're going to talk about that on the show. And that one website, you got to go to unitesurvivors.org that she's involved in. First thing we're going to talk to her about, how are we doing with mental health awareness? I mean, we've got some problems in the United States. 1 out of 5 people suffer from some kind of mental health problem. What are the trends in mental health and helping those that have a mental health problem? Now, there's a lot of information out there. I think we all know that. Dr. Sally feels we have to move beyond that. We have to change the culture, and she's going to zero in on that as our first guest. Later in the show, we're going to check in with one of our longtime sponsors and contributors, and that's the United Labor Agency based in Cleveland, Ohio. Dave Meganhart has been with them for over 3 decades. Last time we had him on, he talked about the clinical director they just hired, Dr. Alicia Borman, and the issue, again, mental health in the workforce. So we'll talk about how that is going. And also, he wants to promote a fundraiser. You know, these nonprofits, they always need more money to survive. And they have a golf outing coming up in the latter part of June. So ulagency.org is a website. Dave Meganhart will be talking about mental health and more as our second guest. Now, a brief look into the world of labor. This segment brought to you by Boyd Watterson Asset Management. You can find more at boydwatterson.com. Registered nurses at Washington Hospital, this would be in Fremont, California, have reached a tentative agreement with management at Washington Hospital Healthcare over the weekend, averting a one-day strike that was set to begin today by the California Nurses Association, which is part of National Nurses United. The new agreement addresses nurses' key concerns around retention and recruitment of RNs within the healthcare district, improving patient care and working conditions for nurses at the hospital. Now, Washington Hospital nurses have been in negotiations since April of last year, April 2023, for a new contract. Comment here from Kim Lake, Kim is an RN, chief nurse rep at Washington Hospital. She said, we are excited to have reached this historic agreement that will improve patient care, working conditions, and nurse recruitment and retention. We demonstrated that nurses were ready to fight for the contract our members and patients deserve, and we are proud with what we have achieved. The nurse bargaining team met with hospital management through a mediator on Saturday, April 27th, after nurses at Washington Hospital delivered notice of their planned strike last week. And obviously that woke them up. And as a result, what was planned for today has been called off. By the way, that unit represents 840 nurses at Washington Hospital. Now let's go on to the other side of the country, and this would be in Maine, the city, and I hope I am pronouncing this correctly, Machias, Maine. Machias, Maine registered nurses and techs at Down East Community Hospital there began a two-day strike yesterday protesting the administration's refusal to address RNs and techs' concerns about the same thing, recruitment, retention, and safe staffing. The Maine State Nurses Association, again, affiliated with National Nurses United, represents registered nurses and techs at the hospital. Techs include certified surgical technicians, medical lab technologists, and cardiopulmonary and imaging technologists. They gave advance notice to the hospital for their event. This was April 19th. Following a nearly unanimous strike authorization pledge from nurses and technicians. Now, the nurses and techs, they've been negotiating since last September for a new contract. While progress has been made in some areas, key issues remain. The RNs and the techs urge management to invest in nursing and technician staff and agree to a fair contract that addresses their concerns about recruitment and retention and prioritizes local nurses and technicians over temporary out-of-town workers. 40,000 unionized hotel workers across the United States and Canada are holding rallies today as talks for a new contract begin with Marriott, Hilton, and Hyatt. As the hotel industry enjoys a new boom in travel and tourism, hotel workers who are still working under pandemic-era contracts are demanding pay raises. The hotel workers are taking part in rallies and marches in Boston, Baltimore, New Haven, Toronto, Honolulu, among other cities. Meanwhile, the Fight for 15 campaign, a coalitional movement that began back in 2012 to demand better pay for low-wage workers, has now rebranded itself as Fight for a Union. Now, originally launched as Fight for 15 and a Union, the campaign pivoted to focus on its demand for a $15 minimum wage and gained successes in raising minimum wage laws across numerous states and cities. Now, in its rebranding announcement video, the campaign stated, "From the beginning, we were speaking out, organizing, and striking for a union. As workers, we fight for a thriving wage, not just a living wage." And $15, well, they got 15 in many areas, but now they need to get more. By the way, the Fight for 15 won. When you do all the math on this, since 2012, they won $150 billion in workers' wages for 26 million people. How about that? All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Dr. Sally Spencer-Thomas on May as Mental Health Awareness Month. Back in a few minutes.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialists, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Ironworkers. You can find more at ironworkers.org.
A great union requires a reliable election system. Survey and Ballot Systems is a trusted election partner with more than 30 years of expertise in managing union elections. By partnering with SBS, your union can ensure it gets an auditable process and a high level of customer service. SBS is here to help you conduct your union vote securely, transparently, and with trust building always in mind. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
We're the nurses, firefighters, and claims representatives that help keep our government services running. We respond to natural disasters. We care for our nation's veterans, and we investigate discrimination in the workplace. We are federal and D.C. government workers, and we are proud to serve the American people. Working in more than 70 agencies across the government, we know we can fulfill our mission because our union has our back. Learn more at AFGE.org. Paid for by the American Federation of Government Employees, AFL-CIO. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Federation of Professional and Technical Engineers. You can find more at ifpte.org.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at boydwatterson.com.
This portion of the show brought to you by the International Union of Bricklayers and Allied Craftworkers. For more information, please visit bacweb.org. America's Workforce is presented by the Laborers International Union of North America. Feel the power right now at liuna.org.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast. AWF Union Podcast. All right, let's go to our live line and once again join Dr. Sally Spencer Thomas. You may recall, if you were a loyal listener to this show, we had Dr. Sally on back in September of last year. And September is Suicide Prevention Month, and we talked a lot about suicide, especially in the construction industry, which is about 3 to 4 times higher than the general population. We're going to touch on that today, but today is significant. Why? Because it's the first day of May, and May kicks off Mental Health Awareness Month, which actually started in 1949, so right now that's 75 years ago. For 75 years, we've been commemorating May as Mental Health Awareness Month. And right now, the statistics all bear this out. We're looking at maybe 1 out of 5 people suffering from some form of mental health issue. And when you do take a look at the population of the United States of 330 million people, that number comes out to 66 million. 66 million people. So how are we doing on that? Let's go to our live line right now and welcome back to the show, Dr. Sally Spencer Thomas. Dr. Thomas, welcome back and thank you for joining us to talk about this very sensitive subject. Let me start off this way. How are we doing? You've been doing this for a long time and sadly, your brother took his own life 20 years ago, this coming December. So this has touched you personally. You talked about that back in September of last year. How would you rate what we're doing with getting the message out? How are we doing on mental health awareness? Let's start right there. This is all yours because I know you're a pro. You work with so many organizations, including the unions. So tell me about it. How are we doing right now?
Well, first of all, thank you. Thank you for inviting me back. Always good to be back. And thank you for keeping this issue in the forefront of the conversations of your listeners. It's really important that we continue the conversation. So the question, how are we doing, of course, is a complicated question because there's a lot of layers to it. I think on one end, we have some very concerning trends in the United States in particular. This is not true necessarily for the rest of the world, but in our country, we have very concerning trends about suicide, about addiction, about overdose. We've got some things happening here. We are in a lot of despair as a nation, a lot of high stress, a lot of workaholism, a lot of people feeling trapped in their current situations. So those trends are not boding well. On the other hand, we have an emerging generation that's a little bit more fluent in mental health and social emotional intelligence and advocating for mental health services and mental health accommodations in a way that we've not seen a workforce do before. So that gives me a lot of hope, the emerging workforce and their ability to champion these kinds of changes in our workforce gives me a lot of hope. But what I'll tell you right now is that we need to move beyond awareness. That's one of my big messages. Awareness is fine. It's necessary. It's necessary for change, but it is definitely not sufficient. There are lots of things that we have awareness about, and we never do anything to change. So the call to action right now is, what are you doing to shift the needle in your locals, in the workplace, in your communities? What are the action steps you're taking to move beyond awareness and really change skills and culture?
Wow, there's a lot to unwind there. I'm so glad that you're here for this interview today. And let's go back a little bit. You mentioned these concerning trends. Let's start there. And you mentioned where we place among other countries. So other countries, it's better than the United States of America. And you also referenced the workaholics. And yeah, we have a lot of workaholics. I could probably say I'm one of them because I have several jobs. And I think the economy has forced a lot of people in that. I've heard many times, well, yeah, I love my job. I got three of them because one job doesn't really cut it anymore. Is that part of the problem in America today versus other countries?
Well, let me just put it this way. Of all countries that are kind of at our level of development and civilization, we are the only country that has a reverse life cycle. So we are dying younger and younger and younger. And all the other countries are living longer, healthier, and happier lives. And they don't work nearly as much as we do. We are a nation that's kind of on a treadmill of work more, achieve more, spend more, work more, achieve more, spend more. And we never really get to enjoy the fruits of our labor because we're just working, working, working so much. And then we need to escape from all of that stress. And so we are also a nation that's very engaged in compulsive and addictive behaviors like drinking and drug use and gambling and sexual behavior and impulsive spending and all of these kinds of things. So that's kind of the trap that a lot of our culture has put us in this moment. And a lot of that downward life expectancy is actually picked up by some health economists who called it due to the deaths of despair. The deaths of despair, most of that backward life cycle aging issue was due to men in the middle years dying prematurely from suicide, overdose, and the consequences of addiction. A good chunk of the reason why we're not living full and happier lives is because there's a huge chunk of the population that is dying well before their time from suicide, overdose, and the consequences of addiction.
You mentioned the younger generation here. You call them a fluent generation. Are they doing a better job than the rest of Americans when it comes to mental health awareness?
Are they doing a better job? I think they are more open and honest about their mental health challenges. What I can tell you as a workforce is they're really challenging the status quo. They are not okay with, this is how things have always been. This toxic workplace, this is how it's always been. Suck it up, buttercup. They're not going to stay. And so, you know, workplaces need to come to terms with, if they want a workforce, they're going to have to make some changes. They're going to have to make some changes in the well-being culture, how people treat each other, about accommodations for mental health challenges, about really getting proactive in treating things like depression, anxiety, addiction, and trauma. They're going to need to be able to do that, or they're not going to be able to attract and retain the emerging talent that's coming in the door.
I'm so glad you brought that up because you know this is a 100% union show. And, you know, for the last couple of years, it started with the pandemic. The pandemic cast a light on so many things that need to be corrected in America. And mental health is certainly in that category. But you see a lot of people at stores like Starbucks, Trader Joe's, Amazon, where they're really pushed hard. They're not making enough money. They were on the front lines, the retail workers. They were heroes during the pandemic. They're zeros now, and they're struggling. We saw a lot of organizing last year, and what you just said, that, you know what, work-life balance.
That's right.
I heard that many, many times. Yeah. So is that pretty much what you're hearing, especially when the younger generation comes to seek out your advice?
Well, I always say I've got three Gen Zers of my own, and so I say buckle up. Like, there's going to be some changes happening because, you know, they've been through a lot in their young lives. They realize that life is short in their 20s, and they're just not going to stick around for the status quo. And there's a lot of activism that comes from this generation. They're going to shake things up. I'm pretty excited.
We're speaking with Dr. Sally Spencer Thomas, and today is the start of Mental Health Awareness Month. It's the entire month of May. I do want to drive you to her website. It's SallySpencerThomas.com, SallySpencerThomas.com. And there's also a nonprofit that she's affiliated with titled UniteSurvivors.org, UniteSurvivors.org. Dr. Sally, you mentioned a few minutes ago about moving beyond awareness. I want to pick up on that for a few minutes, if you don't mind, because the last time and I talked in September for Suicide Prevention Month, we there was a lot of websites. We talked a lot of what's out there to help people that may be contemplating suicide. In this case, even if it's a mental problem, and sometimes small mental problems, many times small mental problems turn into bigger mental problems. But moving beyond that awareness, there's a lot of places to go. The problem, it seems like a lot of people are not going to those places. They're not staying with those places. Explain that part for me, if you can.
Yeah, no problem. I'm going to loop back to United Survivors, because that's a place where we help people turn their pain into purpose. Pain from suicide, their loss, their own personal struggles, into the purpose of making change in their communities. And so we were a big effort behind the Construction Working Minds Summit. So I just want to give a shout out to the nonprofit. But yeah, I think, again, we had awareness that smoking was bad for us for decades before the smoking rate started to change. Having awareness is not enough. We need to have skills. We need to have strategy. We need to change culture. And that's not a small thing that's going to be fixed in a one-off training or a one-off awareness day. We need to dig deep. We need to think about how the construction industry in particular has been so successful in shifting the culture of safety, for example. That didn't happen overnight. That was a lot of littles rigorously applied over time that got us to a new normal about what do we think about in terms of safety cultures. The same thing needs to happen here. We're starting kind of at ground zero. A lot of organizations don't have much in the way of promoting mental health proactively, like really looking at some of the well-being strategies that help keep us emotionally and mentally well. I say to the folks, like, what's the norm? Like, yeah, we roll up on a job site with a six-pack, a Red Bull, and a bag of chips, and, you know, then we're like toiling all day in the elements, and then we go home, drink a six-pack, and try to get 3 hours of sleep, rinse, and repeat. I'm like, that is not a recipe for healthy mental health. Like, that's a recipe for disaster. So we need to change some of the norms proactively so that people are living healthier lifestyles. And that's a skill-building kind of thing that people need to engage in and have permission to do while they're working. The other thing is we need to catch the problems when they're relatively small and not wait until we have someone with a life-threatening addiction or suicidal crisis. We need to have a culture where people say it's okay to raise your hand and say, you know what, you know, my father just died and I'm really overwhelmed by the situation. Or, you know, I had, this major traumatic incident happened to me last week and I haven't slept for 4 days. Being able to say, like, I am not well, so that you don't go into this really high-risk work situation highly distracted and overwhelmed and cause other significant problems. So changes in policy, for example. Changes in peer support skills and programs. changes in bringing the resources to life, not just having a website with all kinds of EAP and local mental health resources listed, but really developing relationships with those resources so that they're known and seen as trustworthy and credible and accessible. Make sure that the cultural and language barriers that often exist in our workforces are addressed proactively so that people feel like these resources are for them. So a lot of training, a lot of strategy, a lot of policy change, and a lot of making sure you've got the right resources for the people.
Wow, I knew I'd get a good answer out of you. Dr. Sally Spencer-Thomas joining us on our live line today. Today is the 1st of May, the start of Mental Health Awareness Month. Once again, her website, SallySpencerThomas.com. Sally has earned an international reputation as an entrepreneur and innovator in social change. And along the way, she has helped establish many large-scale, gap-filling mental health efforts, and that includes Man Therapy. Here's one to check out, mantherapy.org. And also, she's involved in the National Action Alliance for Suicide Prevention. And in 2016, Dr. Sally was invited to speak at the White House on men's mental health. Let's talk more about men's mental health, especially in the construction industry. The construction industry, very, very high suicide rate. We'll talk about that next right here on America's Workforce.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield, labor's trusted health partner, bringing people, communities, and care together to transform the future of health. For more information, please visit anthem.com/labor and trust. This segment of the show is brought to you by the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees Division of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. For more information, please visit bmwe.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining,
atomic energy,
and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
The Alliance for American Manufacturing is a nonprofit, nonpartisan partnership formed back in 2007 by some of America's leading manufacturers and the United Steelworkers. Their mission is simple: strengthen American manufacturing and create new private sector jobs through smart public policies. Key word there is smart. We need to be smarter than ever in today's highly competitive world. The Alliance for American Manufacturing believes that an innovative and growing manufacturing base is vital to America's economic and national security, as well as providing good jobs for future generations. Good jobs today, good jobs tomorrow. Good American jobs. Find out more at AmericanManufacturing.org. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, where you can find more at Teamster.org.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit SurveyandBallotSystems.com to learn more.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Heat and Frost Insulators Labor Management Cooperative Trust. Find out more at insulators.org/LMCT.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And remember, you can check us out on at least five platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. When you get an opportunity, here's what you do. Just sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis and give us a rating. We always appreciate those five-star ratings. We're getting a lot of them, so thank you very much. And if you like a show like this one, we're talking about mental health awareness with Dr. Sally Spencer-Thomas, please share that show. It's important to get the message out because one out of five people are suffering from some type of mental health problem. So we want to really delve into it, especially this month here on America's Workforce. Dr. Sally, I know you do a lot with the construction industry, and once again, the rates are far too high when it comes to suicide. And there's, you're dealing with the guys. I've mentioned before this man therapy. Maybe you could touch on that, because guys, different breed. They're tough. They don't want to get help. They're going to work through it. And they don't really talk about these issues because they're a guy. Let's be honest about that. Are we making some inroads on that? Because it seems like we still got a lot of work to do here, because it's 3 to 4 times higher than the national rate. So fill me in on that, Dr. Sally. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, it's always a little tricky when you're not a man talking about men's mental health issues. But here's the deal. I am a sister and a daughter and a partner to men, and I'm a mother of 3 adult men. So men's mental health matters a lot to me. We are making a difference with man therapy. So man therapy is a unique approach to reaching men that are really hard to reach. Men who have maybe traditional norms of masculinity, men who it's a foreign concept to go seek support for mental health, men that have a lot of barriers, cultural and otherwise, to getting proactive help. So what we did is we used humor to make the conversation a little bit easier. And we made a fake therapist, Dr. Rich Mahogany, who's manning up mental health and making it a little bit more approachable with a little bit of a giggle. The goal of man therapy is really to have men self-screen. That is the behavior we want them to engage in. That's what the men told us they wanted. Before you send us away to some kind of mental health professional, can we just check in with ourselves first? Am I drinking too much? Is my anger problematic? Am I experiencing anxiety? I don't know. So we get them to self-screen. They take an 18-point head inspection, and they get immediate results. You know what? You should probably look into the substance use issue that you're reporting to yourself about. Nobody's seeing these results. It's confidential. It's anonymous. And we have found from a randomized control trial that we did in the state of Michigan was that men are much more likely to start their help-seeking journey after taking that self-screen. So it is working, which is very exciting. And so we share that resource all over the place, and our union partners just eat it up.
Yeah, I want to talk more about that. I know you work with a number of unions. Last time we were talking about, I believe, veterans and piping. I know you're close with Mike Hazard there, who's done an incredibly good job with the United Association.
Oh, my gosh, he's such a rock star.
Yeah, he is. He's a good guy, and he loves you, too. I mean, we've had him on the show a couple of times. So let's talk about I want to get back to that moving beyond the awareness. I think that's so crucial in our discussion today. And you say that unions can do more than just raise awareness. They can take action and build strategy to ensure worker wellness over the course of their career. Obviously, with you being, so associated with unions, are they doing that? Are we making a dent in taking action, in your opinion?
Well, from the unions that I'm working with, they are exploding in all the good ways around this. And it's really because there is this core value that permeates all unions, which is we stand by and we advocate for our brothers and sisters. That's a core element of what makes unions work. And so when we apply that same mindset, that same value to mental health, boy, does it some wonderful things. And I will say that the unions are leading the way in the construction industry for the movement of having formal peer support programs. So we're working in a couple of different spaces, doing some in-depth training with union members to develop the skill sets needed to be an effective peer supporter. How do you listen, with full presence? How do you be an emotional support person without stepping into the role of being a therapist or counselor? How do you know what that boundary is? How do you be a effective bridge to resources? How do you address a mental health emergency when it's going down on a job site? Like, all of these kinds of things we're working long-term. Again, not a one-off like awareness thing or training, but like a deep skill-building cohort development, formal peer support program. The UA and the Smart Union in particular have really taken off on this. It's very exciting to see. The other thing that is definitely happening is the slow drip over time. And what I mean by that is, again, I'm not a big fan of like, woohoo, we're talking about alcohol awareness on Tuesday, one day out of the whole year. Right. You might get people's attention on that day, but, you know, a week from there, they're all going back to what they were doing before. So what really moves the needle is a lot of slow drips over time. And we do that through toolbox talk. So that's another skill that we're developing in our union members, is how to deliver effective and sticky toolbox talks that are likely to change behavior.
Talk to me about how you do this. And I guess part of this is a call to action. You mentioned a couple of unions, the UA, SMART, and we've featured them on the show many, many times. Do you personally go and train? Do you have a team of people? And I know you've got a lot of information on your website, SallySpencerThomas.com. But I'm just wondering if you could paint a picture for our listeners. And we got a lot of union listeners. I mean, like I said before, we're 100% union. We've got a lot of advertisers here. We represent, my gosh, LIUNA. We got the communication workers. We got the steel workers. We got the auto workers. We got the Teamsters. We're covering them all. And we're adding more. We're getting the machinists, also American Federation of State, County, Municipal Employees, and all of them. I mean, they're all under stress. Teacher burnout. There's another one. We deal with the Ohio Federation of Teachers. A lot of teachers are leaving the profession because, well, look at the situation in a lot of the schools today. There's a fight over public versus private schools and money going away from the... I'm getting off on a tangent here, but you know what I'm talking about. And I'm just wondering, how does it work? Do they contact you? Do you have a number of people that come? Do you do this personally? How does it work, Dr. Sally?
Yeah, all of the above. So we have, I've certainly been asked to like keynote at various professional events or to, you know, large groups of workers. And again, the one-off thing just gets the conversation started. It kind of moves people's hearts to take action. We have a team of trainers. We have two 20-hour courses, an introductory to peer ally skills and mental health literacy, and then an advanced one. And when we bake that into the CEUs that they need to get college credit or to get their trainer certificate. So that's exciting because that's a win-win-win-win-win. But we can also do that outside of the college credit piece. We do a full-on consultation, upstream, midstream, and downstream implementation of all of the, you know, 9 best practices that organizations really need to consider to do proactive prevention, early intervention, and crisis response work at best practice. And that's the heavy lift. We've got a couple of large locals, Local 100 out of the UA and Local 393 out of the San Jose area for the UA. Like, they're doing the whole enchilada, and they are really, again, leading the way for what other locals are looking at about what's possible. And they're seeing change almost immediately, because once you start creating this, you know, kind of psychological safety, this small group atmosphere where it's okay to talk about these things, it's okay to raise your hand and say, I need support, and then support happens, and then support's actually helpful, and then people come back to work and they're better. Like, that's a really rewarding narrative. That's a really rewarding thing to have happen, rather than people sulk away, they drop out, some of them die, some of them get life-altering, you know, outcomes from their addiction and overdose. Like, we don't want that anymore. We need to have the cycle be, we help each other out. That's what we do here. We kind of all take our turns going through stressful times, and we're here for each other. That's what we're trying to do.
Well, like you said earlier, we got to change the culture. That's not going to happen overnight. And there was a perfect reference you made to smoking. And finally, you know, there's people who are still smoking, but not nearly what it used to be back in the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s. So things have changed much for the better. But we have to move. The takeaway of this conversation, we have to move beyond awareness. And I love what you said. You got to take action, and the unions are taking action. Dr. Sally Spencer Thomas, do check out her website, SallySpencerThomas.com. There is a very, very powerful video on there that was recorded some years ago, and she tells her story, and the setting is incredible. It really sucks you in, and you definitely, those of you listening to this interview, when you get an opportunity, do check that out. Dr. Sally, thank you so much for your passion, your dedication. Let's stay in touch on this issue, okay?
All right, sounds great. One more call to action, which is save the date. February 26th to the 29th, 2025, we'll have our 4th annual Construction Working Minds Summit in Dallas, Texas. We'll see you there.
There you go. And we will promote that right here on America's Workforce. Thank you, Dr. Sally.
All right, take care. Okay, Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion on May as Mental Health Awareness Month with Dave Meganhart on behalf of the United Labor Agency.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as health care and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Attention members of the Heat and Frost Insulators Union who are interested in traveling. Central Ohio has more construction projects on the books than anywhere in the U.S. Mega projects, large and medium-sized jobs are creating more work than our local 50 brothers and sisters can handle. Projects like Intel, the Honda LG battery plant, and multiple data centers for Facebook, Google, and Amazon offer union wages, overtime, and exciting incentives. Local 50 is seeking union travelers to meet the needs of its signatory contractors who can put you to work immediately. If you're a member in good standing and interested in the work opportunities in Central Ohio, visit insulators50.com/AWF travel. For more information, America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America. You can find more at cwa-union.org.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with survey and ballot systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
The Ironworkers Great Lakes District Council, consisting of 8 ironworker local unions in West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Michigan. We build the skylines and bridges along the Great Lakes. With more work than ever before, the Great Lakes District Council is actively searching out the next great ironworker. Whether it's building the next Intel plant or constructing a bridge to safely connect our great cities along the lake. So join the Ironworkers Great Lakes District Council today. Find out how and learn more about the council by visiting iwdistrictcouncil.com. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Auto Workers. Find more at uaw.org.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Steelworkers. You can find more at usw.org.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the Ohio Federation of Teachers, oh.aft.org. In fact, Melissa Cropper will be joining us next Tuesday. She's usually the second Tuesday of every month, but we moved her up for very good reason, because next Tuesday, May 7th, is Teacher Appreciation Day. We certainly do appreciate Melissa and the entire Ohio Federation of Teachers. Right now, though, let's go to line number two. Welcome a longtime supporter of America's Workforce, Dave Meganhart, on behalf of the United Labor Agency, ulagency.org. And we're going to continue our discussion with May being Mental Health Awareness Month. In fact, the last time we had Dave on the show, which was a couple of months ago, you were talking about hiring a clinical director, and that was Alicia Borman, who we featured on the show for a brief moment. Dave, welcome back to the show. Why don't we just pick it up from there, because this was a bold step for you. Obviously, there's a problem out there. You want to address that problem. And the bottom line, you want to help people. It's all yours, brother. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. Like you said, last time Alicia came on, we were announcing that we opened up our ULA counseling center. And so over the years, when we've been mostly focused on workforce development and trying to help people find new careers and working with people who are even incumbent workers trying to find, you know, jobs that could lead to better career pathways, we noticed that a rising incidence of people experiencing mental health issues. And but in 2023, as Alicia talked about it, we did the research, we created a plan, and then we launched earlier this year the center. And the reason why we did, you know, not only with the people that were coming through our workforce development programs, but in general, also in the population, we're seeing just rising incidence of mental health issues. And we believe that it was, the ULA's mandate. You know, we've been many things over the years as the economy changes, as our society changes. We've always been very innovative in trying to create programming to address the issues that are happening in our communities and our neighborhoods. And I don't think there is a more pressing issue at this time. It's kind of twofold. You have a rising incidence of mental health, people experiencing mental health issues, and you also have a shortage of mental health professionals. So that's why we're using our workforce development experience to try to attack that issue to get more people in, more people into the mental health profession, more people that look like our community, trying to diversify the workforce, and be able to, to be able to address the need. We were part of the Mayor Bibbs and Chris Renane's Sprint Task Force, and that was generally focused on, how to address the crisis of mental health in today's youth. But it's wider than that, right? It begins with youth and it expands out. And so not only were we seeing youth, we are seeing it across the board, through all of our workforce programs, but also in, people could be working, they're in the unions, they need help. Right. This is a hard time. There's a lot of issues that have really affected people, not only with the economy and, the pandemic. There's still that the problems. And there's a lot of insecurity and a lot of, I think people just are unsure of the ground in which they stand on. So to give you an example, NAMI, which is the national organization, say that 1 in 5 adults experience mental health issues each year, and only about half of them receive treatment. And you think about that, 20% of adults need some sort of help, and only 10%. And part of it is access, right? I mean, there's a lot of people, there's like about a third of the country live in areas that don't have any mental health professionals, about 122 million people. So, and if you even try to find a counselor now, even at a place that's, well-educated, like Cuyahoga County, it can take months to try to get into, to try to see somebody. A lot of, it's just there, everybody's full, there's a huge demand, and we need to address it. So that's why, that's why we created the center. And we really feel that it's the right thing to do. And we hired a great clinical director, and Alicia has just a ton of experience, and she's really creating a solid foundation that we can be able to address these issues.
Well, let me ask you this. Are the people that are affiliated with the ULA, are they taking advantage of Alicia's services? I know it's kind of, you just started this, but is it happening right now?
Yeah, it's happening. The referrals are building as we thought, it would happen. Once the word gets out, we're starting to see a steady flow of people that are coming in. So we'll be looking in the next months to not only hire more counselors, but also because there's so few counselors out there, we're going to have to work with the universities and, you know, create internship possibilities, which we will pay. It's not going to be an unpaid internship. To be able to, like, provide that experience and kind of grow organically our staff. We're also looking at the people that are the staff, our counselors now that might not be licensed. How do we get them licensed, and how do we, you know, help pay offset their education to be able to, you know, take this next step into counseling? So they're great. You know, we have this great staff and they're doing workforce development, but some of them have expressed interest in, like, well, how do I become licensed? And, you know, we're trying to work out those strategies as well.
You know, I could speak to this issue personally because my daughter, she got involved in counseling. She's got a dual major. She's an art therapist and she's a certified counselor. And she took some time off to raise her child. God bless her for that. And now she's realizing, okay, well, I got to work because there's a lot of bills to pay.
Right.
And she just got a job with a new outfit. It's a nonprofit. And I tell you, they hired her on the spot. They said, we need you. When can you start? So
right.
There's a shortage out there. And I don't know if there's not enough people going into that field. I mean, that field is stressful in itself to hear
it's
the stories and all that. But you throw into what you said with the pandemic and all the issues going, there's a huge demand. And there's another part of this too, Dave. And I talked to our folks at the VA about that. You know, the VA, well, they pay okay, you know, depending on where you are and up the ladder or not. But a lot of them have gone to the private sector because there's more money there. So that's another issue. And obviously, if you're in a situation like that, the cost can be a problem. So, yeah, there's a lot of complications right now. But it's good to know that you're going in that direction. So
I think an important thing too is job quality, right? I mean, if you are in a stressful position, like a mental health counselor, you need to have benefits. You need to have a solid work environment. I think a lot of mental health counselors, especially in the private sector, are 1099. So you know, you counsel, you get paid. And so it just depends on how many people you see that week. And now some people like that gig stuff and they like the flexibility, but it also can be very stressful to not knowing, you know, week to week, how much money is coming into your bank account. And that can be very stressful too. And I think the caseloads and all of the, you know, there's empathy fatigue and all of that. They really have to be mindful about how to create an environment that people can thrive.
Okay, let's switch gears here. We're speaking with Dave Meganhart, Executive Director of the United Labor Agency, ulagency.org is their website. You have a fundraiser coming up, and this sounds like a fun event. It's a golf outing.
I mean, you know, ULA is a nonprofit. We, you know, get grants. We get private donations. We do this golf outing every year. This year, it's going to be at the Pine Hills Golf Club out in Hinckley, Ohio. It's on June 27th. We still have a few foursomes left. It's really a great event because, you know, you get to go out in the sunshine, you golf. I mean, you can't really say playing golf. It's sort of like hacking a ball, slicing a ball into the woods or hitting into the, you know, whatever, the lake. And trying not to be frustrated, but it's still a lot of fun. We see a lot of our supporters there. You know, we feed them steak, it's a great course. We've been doing it for many years and I, you know, just want to get out to just kind of the last, spots are available. So people listening, you know, get your reservations in. I mean, they can call me directly. My direct line is 216-816-1955. And, you know, let's fill it out. And, you know, it's always late June. It's always beautiful. And it's like I said, it's a great course. And you don't have to be that good, right? It's a foursome. It's a scramble. Sometimes I just let somebody else hit my shot. I'm going to just drive around the cart. You know, it's like breathe in the fresh air, you know, see some foxes that are running around the woods, whatever, you know what I mean? It's like, it could be a nature walk too. I think it is a nature
walk.
There
you go. Dave, I know there's some people that take this sport seriously and then there's those who do not take it seriously. And I guess you fall into the latter part of that, right?
I do. I do, for sure.
All right, we're going to leave it on that note. Dave Meganhart, Executive Director of the United Labor Agency. Do check out their website, ulagency.org. And that number, direct number to Dave, is 216-816-1955 if you want to be part of that golf outing. That'll be it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, the Construction Industry Alliance and the Pittsburgh News Guild. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.